It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 372. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me suggestions for future show topics or any question. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message, and we have one I'm going to play in a few minutes. The phone number is 240-949-2450. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and Facebook, send me a friend request, facebook.com/MikeTechShow. Have lots to get to tonight, so we're going to get started. I want to remind everybody that this Saturday at 2 o'clock Eastern Time, we have a special Mike Tech Show with my guest attorney, Josh Hummel, and we will be talking about business and legal issues regarding tech. It's going to be a lot of fun and very different. And we had to cancel the show from last Saturday because Josh does have a long drive and we didn't want to put him in danger when he would be leaving after the show. There was a possibility of strong rain and high winds, so we didn't want to risk that. And we will be having it this Saturday. And if you can't join us live, don't worry. It's going to be in the feed. And you can certainly download. And you can also click the link. And I will be recording it on Ustream. So everybody in the chat on Saturday, remind me to click the record button on Ustream. And it will be available. I'm also speaking at the Ewing Computer Learning Center in Ewing, New Jersey in the afternoon on Tuesday, the 6th, I think it's the 6th of September. If you're in the area, stop by. With the hurricane last week, and I certainly talked a lot about that on Thursday night with the what was happening. Friday, I made sure all my clients were prepared, where workstations shut off, clients that could not shut off the server where they needed email over the weekend. We left it running. One client, we had to make sure they're in a flood zone, so we had to make sure that the server was off the ground because there would be extraordinary flooding, which did occur over the weekend. I was very fortunate that I didn't lose power. That was my main concern. And only two clients lost power, so Sunday night I was out visiting those clients after their power was restored, when I could see they had internet when I was observing it via Log Me In. And once I seen that they had power, I went down to the two clients and made sure their servers were up and running and email tested and accessing the files. So they were very, very happy on Monday morning that everything was running. Wasn't as busy as I thought I would have been on Monday. I really thought I was going to get crushed. Hurricane Irene was a little kinder to us from a wind standpoint. And I think because of that, there was less power outages. But certainly flooding was real bad. So hopefully everybody that's in the sound of my voice and listening to the show, hopefully you were okay. I do know lots of people that were out of power. So that's very difficult if you're out for several days. Tonight, before I started the show, I was getting ready, and there was an important email I was replying to, and I had a big cup of cold water, ice cold water, sitting beside me, and I bumped it and knocked it over, and the whole glass of water splashed onto my keyboard. I was soaking wet. And I have the Logitech illuminated keyboard. It's very thin. It's got a very soft touch, a great feel. And I've talked about this keyboard because It's a $79 keyboard that I got for $29 a few years ago at a Black Friday from Staples. And I'm always looking for this. This keyboard is still maintaining the same price. And I'm always looking for another deal so I can stock this because it's such a resilient, such a great keyboard. And having backlit, once you go backlit, you'll never try another keyboard. I kept typing and I sent the message with water splashing on my fingers and I held the keyboard up. I grabbed a can of compressed air. I put some paper towels down and I sprayed the keyboard and just kept spraying it. Got all of the water off. I didn't even have to unplug the USB port. I recommend the Logitech illuminated keyboard very, very highly because not only did it withstand all that water, but I pound the heck out of this, out of the keys, and the thing just takes a licking and just keeps on ticking. I will have a link to it in the show notes. Now, there is a wireless version that a client of mine has, and I'm not a fan of wireless keyboards to a desktop. And the same with a mouse. I love wireless mice for notebooks. Yes, that's great. If your desktop is at a fixed location and it's not moving, why add the overhead of wireless where you now have to worry about batteries, worry about problems? I tell you, half the problems that I run into with clients that have wireless keyboards and mice, over and over, that is a consistent problem where I end up having to move them to wired. Always consider wired over wireless unless you're mobile with that desktop or you have to be far away where the wire, it doesn't make sense because it's too far. But even then, you can get an extension cable. Or if you're trying to keep it clean where you just can't run the wires, then I can see it being wireless. I'm not a believer or supporter of wireless keyboards and mice unless you're using them for a laptop. That's a different story. That's my opinion. I know I'll get some feedback on that. Let me know if you agree with me. A couple other things here. I'm going to have a link to a situation that a consultant client of mine is running into with one of his clients, and it's a time synchronization problem. He's inherited a client where the servers are not synced with the same time, and it's causing login problems. So I have a knowledge base article from Microsoft on how to properly make sure that the servers and the workstations are synced to the proper time. You definitely want to take a look at that where you want one server goes out to the internet and goes to a time synchronization server and syncs for the correct exact time. Then you want all other servers and workstations on that network to sync to that system. Take a look at that article if you are in that situation. I received an email from someone today that I am helping. They are sending emails to clients and the clients are blocking or their email appears as spam and is being sent to spam folders. And this is a situation I've run into before. And you as the sender can only do one thing. And that is to make sure that your domain is not on any spam block list, any blacklists. And you can do that by using a tremendous website that I use all the time, and it's MX Toolbox. I've talked about this in the past. It's a great, great site. You put the domain name, you click for the MX records, and then you click a little link that says to check to see if they are being blocked, if they are on any kind of blacklist. And if they are, then you can drill down to the individual places that are blacklisting them, and you can then go through the process to get them off the blacklist. So the first thing I did was ran the domain through MX Toolbox. It's clean. They are not on any blacklist. So now that means their email is appearing as spam. So what could be happening? Make sure that you minimize your signature line. One of the things I noticed that if you have a very complicated signature line and lots of graphics, you know, that can be picked up as spam on certain filters. So I asked them to kind of reduce their signature to be just text and then send some mail messages to see if they are now accepted. If they're sending to Verizon.net, remember a couple months ago, I talked about where Verizon ratcheted up their spam filtering for their email and then made the default option for all users to delete spam upon arrival. So not only did they ratchet it up the number where they're collecting false positives, they're going to delete them for you. So now you got known good email being intentionally deleted by Verizon's stupidity in having these settings set for users. Anybody out there that's Verizon.net, or if you know anybody Verizon.net, tell them to log on to their web and uncheck that so they will now quarantine spam messages and not delete them. So that's one. Second, they got to notify users that are having this problem, and this is customers, and this is hard because you don't know who's not getting your email. They have to add the domain to a whitelist, and that's all you can do. It's one of these things that's out of your control, and you're at the mercy of the recipient's spam filtering. And there's so many out there, and there's some real poor ones out there that are blocking good mail. And the only way you can deal with this is communicate with them, ask someone that you know this is happening to add you to their whitelist, and then you'll be okay. So this is what I advised this individual. Everything about the Verizon.net issue, and then minimize their signature and communicate to everyone to add their domain to their whitelist. The following is a voicemail from Kevin, who's Reliant in the chat. Give a listen.
Hello, Mike. This is Kevin, known as Reliant in the chat room. I wanted to comment on the trouble you were having with the client's computer and how you sorted out the problem by using Crystal Disk. Crystal Disk is a great program that allows the tech to see the health condition of the hard drive in question and also maps out the problems with the hard drive. I wanted to say that in order to save me a lot of time in dealing with computer troubleshooting issues is that I always run Crystal Disk first. I had to learn this the hard way by reinstalling a customer's XP installation and then to find out that the hard drive was causing all the problems. So a good rule of thumb I live by now is run Crystal Disk first, and then if they want to save their data, run a data backup like FABS Auto Backup for Text. You are doing a great job with the show. Keep up the great work. Thanks.
Thanks, Kevin, for that. And you mentioned the FABS auto backup. And I have an email here from a Peter who said, "Hi, Mike, have you ever tried FABS auto backup?" No, I haven't. Here's the link. I'm going to link this in the show notes. I have not used FABS auto backup. I have received email and now a voicemail on recommendations for this. I will try that utility. Absolutely. This is nice, one on my, you know, on my hit list to take a look at for utilities for this weekend, and I promise I will use that. Everybody's highly recommending that, and it's always nice to have another tool for your toolbox. Kevin makes a great point. Use Crystal Disk Info. You hear me recommend this all the time. When I'm giving talks to user groups, any organization, I always mention Crystal Disk Info. And I'll link it again in the show notes. use the portable version. I now do exactly what Kevin says, which is run it first, because it could save you a lot of anguish. There are so many times where I've done so many other things, and then that was the last utility I ran instead of it being the first. I now run this first to get the hard drive off the hook and know that it's fine. Then, if it is a Dell system, hit F12 for the boot options and run whatever function key it says for diagnostics. Then, run the diags, which will take memory off the hook, motherboard, CPU. Let it run all those tests, because you have now built-in diagnostics with the Dell. And if you've taken hard drive off the list, you've taken the CPU, the memory, at least you know it's not hardware. Whatever problem you're running into, let's eliminate hardware quickly. Then look for what the software solution would be. The second thing I would run, and I always, and sometimes, you know, it's hard to know what order, but spyware. Eliminate the possibility that there's spyware on the system, and now you can start digging down to some root causes of what's happening. After you've eliminated hardware, you've eliminated spyware, now you can maybe get to the crux of what's happening. Here is a question, and this is from Mike, and he is from Fairfax, Virginia. I listen to your podcast every week and always learn something new. Thanks for your hard work and dedication to both your clients and listeners. I have set up Google Apps for education at my school in Northern Virginia, and so far, everyone's taken to it well. A slight inconvenience I have found is with the shared contacts. As you may know, there isn't a built-in interface for managing them in the Google Apps control panel. There's a command line tool available, but it's not as convenient as a GUI. Parents' emails change a lot. I was wondering if you or one of your clients who use Google Apps have a favorite control panel on from the marketplace that has that functionality. I currently am using a trial of Promevio gPanel, and he has the link, and it's good so far, but will cost us $600 a year. So I was just looking for any known good alternatives. Mike, good question. I do not mess with Google Apps control panels and add-ins. I have not explored that. And my clients that currently have Google Apps that I manage it for them, I know that none of that, they're not using any add-ins. So we're asking for your help. If you are playing with Google Apps and you have a great add-in that you can recommend for the control panel for contacts, let me know. I will dedicate a show or a good portion of a show to those add-ins and discuss them. And I'll tell you what, I'll even try them with some of my Google Apps, because I have several email accounts using Google Apps with a few of the domains that I own. And that will be something to play with and test, and I'll report back, and let's help someone else and also expand the functionality of Google Apps, which I think is great. Speaking of domains, Winston Wolf gave me a great idea. He says, Mike, you have your Amazon link for purchases. Why don't you make it easier for all the listeners and family and friends and anybody that uses your link and create a subdomain? I created a subdomain for MikeNation.net, but I couldn't create it for MikeTechShow.com because I don't have hosting. MikeTechShow.com, I own the domain, but it's forwarding to MikeNation.net. So here's what I did, and I did this with the help of Ryan, my son. We created a folder under my domain called Amazon, and in there, an index.html file that automatically takes you to my Amazon link. So if you were to click on the link on the left-hand side of my website before you go to Amazon, that link can now be achieved much easier. You can go to amazon.micnation.net and it will take you right there. Or you can go to miketechshow.com/Amazon and it will take you right to my Amazon link on Amazon. So you can then just go ahead and purchase to your heart's content, and that will support the Mike Tech Show. And let me say a huge thank you to everybody in August, because you made August one of my biggest months that I've ever had since I have been promoting Amazon and using Amazon. A big, big thank you to everyone for using my link, and please continue to support the show by using that. And as you noticed, there was no sponsors tonight because the sponsorships ended at the end of August. I really appreciate your continue to use that and support the show. Thank you. A couple more email. This is from Edward, and he was trying to get to show 222, and then he was trying to get to a registry file that I had hosted. If you run into this, and I haven't found a fix yet, first, if you want links to the older shows, now, I know we're falling behind, and I'm going to try to update the wiki to some of the links. If you go to mtswiki.com, you will see links to all the older shows. Now, if you go to show 222 and you see a link to download something and it says miketechshow.com and then /files and whatever it is, you can substitute miketechshow.com for miknation.net in the URL and it will get you the file. Now, I have not ran through and found a way to easily make that change through all of the old links in all of the show notes. That's a big project. So for right now, I just wanted to let everybody know that if you're in search of some files that are linked from older shows, you can make that change yourself in the URL and you'd be able to get to it. But don't forget the great resource, mtswiki.com, because that will be able to at least get you to the links to the audio and all the show notes from every show, from show number one all the way up to the current show. Give that a try for looking up all the old shows, and some of them are current in terms of some of the recommendations and some of the utilities. And then, of course, you know there's going to be some old links that are outdated that are no longer available, or utilities that maybe the manufacturer is no longer in business or the author is no longer in business. So you know that's going to happen. This is from Dan, and this is in response to Paul's recommendation for ROMing the Android tablet for imaging the tablets. And this is a follow-up from Dan, who asked the original question. And he said, I just wanted to send an email and thank you and your listener, Paul, that left the detailed message that he left about Android tablet ROMing. As with iOS jailbreaking, there seems to be a whole subculture around Android ROMing and all of the different things that you can do with it. I'm not sure which way we're going to ultimately go with this, but at least we have a couple more options now that we didn't know about before. Thanks again. This is an email that I received from a client who today was running into a problem where he doesn't remember when, but he downloaded a program called Folder Lock. I don't even think he registered it. It was just a trial version. And it was an older version. And he assigned a password that he has since forgotten. And now he's trying to save a file and get access to a different file. I'm not sure which directory, but the folder lock keeps coming up. So he's tried to uninstall it. And to no avail. Tried Revo uninstaller. Yeah, he's got to have the password. He wrote the manufacturer of the software, and they responded back, please download the uninstaller exe file, which you can get from, and there's a link to the folder lock program folder and run it. If, however, you are using Windows Vista, make sure to right-click the uninstaller EXE before running the program and run as administrator. The program will uninstall without asking you a password. Note, this procedure requires all files that came with the original program, and you may have manually deleted a particular file or some files. Please install Folder Lock again to overwrite all the files. Note, if you have a file called uninstall.manifest.exe file inside the Folder Lock program folder you are running, and you are running Windows XP, then you have to get rid of that to have it work properly. If you have Windows Vista, then uninstall manifest.exe file is required and must not be deleted. So it's a little complicated here. And what's the lesson? Anytime you pick a password, you got to make sure you save it in a protected format. Maybe it's a Word document and you password protect it. Or RoboForm is still out there, still working, and that is a product that you could save your passwords to. I asked the chat room, and here's the thing. LastPass might have been the one that was compromised, and they're the ones who bought Xmarks. Any free password manager, and I've used KeePass for a while. You want to be careful on using programs like that, that are saved in the cloud. You want to be careful that, what if they're hacked? I do know that there has never been an issue at all with RoboForm, and they have a paid model, and they're still in business, and I have heard nothing negative at all about RoboForm. That's all I know. So here's what I would like. Let's dedicate a future show to talking about the saving of passwords, LastPass, KeePass, RoboForm, and let's get some opinions. What are you using? Do you feel comfortable with, and why? And let's put everything together and see if we can come up with some recommendations and talk about which one we would put the Mike Tech Show stamp of approval on and recommend to everybody. I think that's a really good idea, because even I'm now confused. I know there was a major problem with one of the password vendors out there where they were hacked, and they have exposed all the passwords, or a good portion of them were exposed and were compromised, and they notified all of the users of that. And they greatly downplayed what was going on. You read between the lines, and you can see where they were backpedaling when they were being pushed as to what was happening. They weren't coming forth with a lot of information. You got to be very, very careful when you're putting all that. You know, hey, I love Xmarks. It's a risk. I know clients are having the same issue right now. They're afraid to store company information and files and services online for all-you-can-eat $5 unlimited storage. How can you put your company information out there and risk it? So I've had this conversation with several clients that are worried about the security of their data. It's a great topic. Let's table that for a future show. Send me your information, miketechshow@gmail.com. And I want to thank everybody for continuing to listen and subscribe to the show and download the show. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. The next show is this Saturday, a special show at 2 o'clock. And I will be back next week, same time, same channel. Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.